What's up, champs, and welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Russillo, and joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamore. Shams, welcome to the new year. How's your first fantasy matchup of the new year going?
It's going fine, and just kind of getting into the thick of things. It's everyone talking about having their holidays and whatnot in December. I'm ready to see family for about 2 weeks of January, so now I'm going to do the old balance of seeing if I can keep ahead of all the news and whatnot when I'm shifting 3 hours east, so that should be fun next week.
We'll both have to figure that out, because I think you said that you aren't going to be around for short shifts the next 2 weeks, and I think a conflict came up for me also, so I think I'm traveling the next 2 weeks also. So we may have to talk with our fellow hosts and figure something out. But let's get right into the news. There's apparently a bunch of news, despite the fact that there was only one game yesterday. First off, Valeri Nichushkin is out for 7 to 10 days. What's the fallout you've got from that?
So it's a shame that, luckily, he's only out for about a week. They kind of said just day to day, but then he also gave the 7 to 10, so we'll see how long it is. However, this kind of forced them to put their back to their normal lines. They had some kind of a split line of having Rantanen and MacKinnon separated, but now they're back to having Lehkonen, MacKinnon, and Rantanen together, which it's fine for them, but it really hurts the secondary guys, because now it's the second line is Colton, Mittelstadt, and Drouin, which is a lot less interesting when you don't have Rantanen there. So the game hasn't started yet, so we don't know how that affects the power play, but right now it's just kind of a the big guys, fine, but the secondary pieces take a big hit now that they're all together and not having any avenue to the big guns.
Would you bother adding any of these secondary pieces if they're sitting around on the waiver wire? I feel like Drouin has kind of been pretty good when healthy, and he's owned in a lot of places. But Mittelstadt and Colton, I kind of don't want.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the boat where I've seen them added already. And like, if you already have them, I wouldn't rush to drop them unless you have like moves left over or an interesting person to pick them up. But if they're already on your waiver wire, especially with this setup for this week, I wouldn't be rushing to add the secondary pieces.
On to some more injuries. Joey Decord has actually been dealing with an upper body bruise for a little bit now. He missed a couple games. Grubauer started a few in a row. He does have back-to-back wins, but one of them was an 818 save percentage. So, you know, your mileage may vary starting Grubauer. I do think the Kraken kind of change how they play in front of him, just because they know he's not going to bail them out as often. Generally just feels like a more tighter defensive front there. The other goalie injury is Sam Ersson is hurt. I'm not sure how long that one is. Do you have any more info there?
They didn't really give any info. It's basically all we know. It's a lower body injury and, quote, day-to-day. However, there's some concerns with the beat writers is that he has had groin issues in the past this season that has kept him out. So they haven't declared it specifically the groin, but it's another lower body injury. So we'll see what happens. The big thing here is that even though they have three goalies that have played in the NHL this season, is that Ersson's probably the most steady, and Kolesov has been on a pretty bad cold streak. I think he, if I remember correctly, in the last five starts he's had, he had one win and one quality start. So this is going to be one of those situations where, especially them playing Vegas tonight, and then I believe they have a back-to-back with Toronto, or at least like a home and away with them the next two games, I would just be waiting to see on keeping Ersson in your IR and then just not touching any of the goalies here until maybe next week, where we have a little bit more idea and see how they actually play.
I certainly would be avoiding any of the goalies there, especially with Ivan Fedotov coming up as the backup. Maybe a chance to stream against them, though, if you're expecting those goalies to let in a lot of goals. Definitely scary with a goalie and a lower body injury. That feels like it always is going to be two-ish weeks minimum, just because goalies are required to be so flexible. I'm always scared of that. Next up, Jared Spurgeon took a nasty slew foot in their game against the Predators last night, or 2 days ago. Fortunately, it looks like he avoided the worst of the injury. It's still week to week, but people were concerned that his season or career at his age might have even been over with how bad it looked with his ankle and knee kind of bending as he went into the boards. It looks like the replacement on the top power play is Brock Faber, as kind of expected. Any other things to consider here?
Nothing really here, maybe just like in your deeper leagues, maybe Brodin just going to be asked to play more minutes here and there, might get some more banger stats, but right now it's maybe in your shower leagues, I've seen Faber dropped, and if you're just in your power play points, that's probably the biggest takeaway from here.
I'm not even convinced Faber's worth owning a lot of places. I've been an advocate of dropping him since before he lost the power play one job. We'll actually talk a bit more about defensemen who appear to be really good and getting good deployment and aren't doing anything in our hot cold streaks. Lastly, for the injury outjury stuff, though, I'll call it two near outjuries. Chris Letang is on his way back. He was placed on IR, so he can't return until Sunday. Just some sort of lower body injury cropped up, but he's been skating with the team. Hopefully it's just a minimum stay there. Sounds like Marcus Pettersson returns, though, to give the Pens some much-needed support back there. And finally, Connor Ingram is on a conditioning stint with the Tucson Roadrunners and may be back with the Utah Coyotes pretty soon. Much fantasy relevance there, or kind of just news is news?
I think probably the thing is that you have Ingram. People were really high on him at the start of the season of potentially taking over the net, but he hasn't really been playing too well. He only has like an 871 save percentage so far this season. So while I don't think he'll be taking the net, I think he'll probably be good enough, or at least the team will want him enough to start eating into Vejmelka's playing time. And it will be interesting to see how much he does. And then that could be more one of those situations where he's not good enough to be rostered, and it could damage the rosterability of Vejmelka as well.
I'd argue that people weren't expecting him to take the net. People were expecting him to continue to hold the net that he took last year. He started 50 to Vejmelka's 38 last year. I do think that he kind of totally flopped to start the season. I was one of those people expecting, you know, another, you know, 50 starts for Ingram, and he was just bad. And like hasn't held up his end of the bargain. And I don't think he's going to get the starter role for sure. I think the worst case scenario for fantasy owners, though, is that he comes back and they go to a 50-50 like they were 2 years ago. And yeah, that would not be good for anybody. Vejmelka has been quite good lately, but I do think Ingram can bounce back and have some fantasy relevance if needed. With that, let's go to a quick ad break.
Don't you love the sounds and sights of a hockey game? The feels? Yeah, you do. And one great way to get there is with Game Time. They have a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste your time searching through thousands of tickets. I'm looking at some events right now. I actually just like to scroll through the app to see what's happening. First off, Sens tickets starting at $8, and that's like for three different dates. Certainly not against the Leafs. Those cost a little more, but I can see that all real easy. And so can you. And while you do, you get seat views with each ticket. You get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy. And all purchases, of course, are covered by Game Time's ticket coverage, the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account to redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time, Mr. Wolf.
It's the most wonderful time of the year for getting in on all the hoops, football, and hockey action at DraftKings Sportsbook. In the season of giving, we're being gifted college football and hockey, pro football and basketball, and pro hockey too, almost 24/7. And here's a gift for all new customers of DraftKings. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5. Happy holidays from DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back, everyone. Now for our hot cold streaks. You pointed out that Quentin Byfield has finally started to heat up. I think he was one of the big disappointments this year. It looked like he was close to a breakout at the end of last year. What's he been doing lately to rejuvenate his fantasy stock?
Well, the interesting thing is that other than getting on the power play one, which he's yet to get any power play points from that spot, nothing has changed with his deployment. But in the last five games, he has 6 points with 4 goals and 2 assists. Those 4 goals are really nice. And on top of that, I guess he's just being more aggressive because he's averaging 2.2 shots, which is, you know, you wouldn't really write home about 2.2 shots. But if you looked later to this or earlier to the season, he had a 11 game streak. I kid you not. I'm calling this 11 game streak because literally in those games, he registered only 1 shot, no zeros and twos, average, literally 11 games straight of 1 shot. So the fact that he's being more active, hopefully, even though he's going to be playing with Fogel and Janot on line 2.5, if you want to call the Fiala line two, is that he's going to be interesting enough that he's going to have at least some rosterability, but I'm not sure he's going to be back to those days where he's playing with Kempe and Kopitar, but I feel like it's just going to be one of those situations that instead of being off the radar, he's going to have his moments. And then in your deeper league, sure, where you don't have your picks of top line players, he's going to be rosterable there. And then in your shower leagues, going to be more of a streamer that has value now instead of just a clear snoozer.
I'm a huge Quentin Byfield fan. Like, I love watching him play. I think that this is a really promising look. Like you said, he's gone from a streak where he was shooting 1 shot per game, which is completely unrosterable, arguably even for a defenseman. I mean, Jeremy Lauzon shoots 1 shot a game. And now he's got some fours and some fives sprinkled in with the twos and threes that are more the norm now. So that's really promising. The 6 goals in the last 8 games, it looks like, is a little bit of cautionary shooting percentage. I didn't quite do the math, but he's definitely outshooting his number there. But this does look like, honestly, exactly what the LA Kings needed from him, like competent middle six center for this year, can really drive a line. And he's actually dragged Fogel and Janot around, too. Fogel's been a great streamer the past few weeks. I think he's got 3 or 4 goals. Looking good, definitely worth an ad for a good schedule week or a deeper league. Like, he's long gone in the 16-team Tier 1 Sweden. But if you are in a 16 or 18 team league and he's sitting around on the wire, definitely worth looking for. Next up on the cold streak side, one of the defensemen I hinted at is Brandon Montour. I kind of feel like he's now in that fringe roster category now that Vince Dunn is back. He was doing work with Vince Dunn out, was playing on the power play, was getting a lot of even strength points, scoring a lot of goals, actually. But now he's only got 3 points in his last 10, none in his last 4. The shot totals have gone down too, as has the deployment. From an eye test standpoint, he still looks good. Like, he's driving play, he's starting breakouts, he's defending well. But it just seems like the play doesn't run through him, nor is he out there with the offensive caliber players the way Dunn is. The one promising thing is, when it's late in a game and they need goals, they've got both him and Dunn out there on the 6-on-5s. They've got them paired together at 5v5 sometimes. So there's lots of opportunity, but I think he's kind of slid back down to the medium realm as opposed to where he was while Dunn was out.
Yeah, the scary thing too is that your first thought is probably, oh, it's Seattle. They're playing defensively. They're not getting a lot of goals, so he's not getting involved. The scary thing is that their last two games, they actually had 5 goals each. So 10 total goals, and he pointed on none of them. So that's really the kind of the kick, is that with that 0 points. And then on top of that, in the last game, he didn't even have a shot on net. He sure randomly got 5 blocks, which is nice. But in the last, let's see, 4 games, he has a 4-shot game, 2 1-shot games, and then a 0-shot game. So that's kind of the scary thing, is that if he's shooting and blocking, you could get those kind of, you know, live by not having to points all the time. But if you're not pointing and you're not shooting and blocking a ton, then it's going to be a really tough hold.
Definitely a far cry from the 5, 6, and 7-shot games he was putting up last month. Definitely loved those. Next hot streak, we've got Dmitry Voronkov. He has 6 goals and 6 assists over his last 8 games, a lot of them on the power play. He's line 1, power play 1, close to 20 minutes a night, hits a bit. I think he's a must-add in all formats. I checked the Kakupfel rostership, and he's 100% owned there, so obviously not relevant there, but any of your other leagues, I can't think of a fantasy format other than maybe like a 10-team league that I wouldn't want Voronkov on my team for.
Yeah, that's just basically ever since he got to play and stay with Marchenko and Monahan on that top line, that's where it's unlocked. He had some time earlier in the season where he's kind of bouncing around and there's some guess it is value. But now that he's with them both on the power play and on the top line, that is just kind of unlocked his points and makes me feel confident that it's going to stay. It's not just kind of a random outburst that, you know, we saw from like Matthew Oliver or like a random JVR streak that will come. The fact that he's staying on that top line with those players makes me expect this to continue.
And I think he's been on the ice for a goal tonight. No, maybe not. But either way, if he doesn't score tonight, I'm sure he will soon. Last but not least, our last cold streak is actually like a freezing cold streak. Rasmus Anderson has 1 point in his last 11 games, despite still kind of being on power play one, it looks like. Is he just a drop candidate, or am I overreacting?
The issue is I'm with you. I'd be heavily considered dropping him because on top of it is that he's still like every game he's getting over 20 minutes, like 25 minute games. So it's not an ice time situation. He's getting one of the power plays. They've done split a lot. So he's getting time with at least some decent offensive forwards on the power play and doing nothing with it now. Like, you know, they have been not scoring a lot. They've only gotten more than 3 goals once in the last like 10-ish games. So maybe it's kind of an offensive thing, but they're not known, the Flames, as an offensive team. So that's not the thing that's going to just flip like a switch. So depending on your format and how deep it is, if he got dropped in Kakupfel, I wouldn't be spending all my fab. So maybe that's kind of be the kind of the question is that if you have someone interesting enough to pick up and he is your worst defender, I'd consider dropping him. He's not that, hey, he's going to be fine, let him be there. But I wouldn't be rushing to drop him just because I do see that he had a streak of 3 block games with a couple of shots. So he gives you something at least.
The 3 block games are definitely very nice. He is averaging over 2 blocks per game on the season. Even though actually the recency, he hasn't had as many blocks as he did earlier in the year. I'm actually kind of curious because it's turning into one of those things where there's a bunch of defensemen that are power play one on their teams, like locked in power play one guys, that I'm like, huh, are these guys like really worth owning? And I don't think there's been this many situations where I don't care who's on power play one and like, okay, the whichever Blues defenseman is on power play one, I think recently it's been Cam Fowler, really hasn't been relevant this year. Whichever Ducks defenseman, Lacombe has had most of that power play one. Brock Faber for the longest time was on Minnesota's power play one, and I don't think he was roster worthy there. Now you've got Rasmus Anderson. It's kind of a weird turn because in past years for fantasy, I've kind of felt like every power play one defenseman needs to be owned. and I am going out of my way to grab them when they get dropped, and I just don't feel that way anymore. Is this, are you seeing a change in strategy or value here?
I've been kind of picky with who I've been picking up for power play one quarterbacks, and with the ones you've listed, I'm mostly with you. The only one I would push back is Cam Fowler, just because he has been pointing. He has two power play points in his last three games. So he has been, and also playing with much better forwards, at least. Like, back when they had the split, like, with, like, sometimes they'd have, like, Buchnevich or Kyrou on the second power play and doing those weird things, sure. But the fact that they have that one stacked and him there, I'd be a little bit more open. But yeah, it's really depends on who's on the power play with them. You could call it power play one, but with certain teams, that power play one is still not, you know, interesting as, you know, some teams 5-on-5 first line. So it kind of be a situation where you have enough to bring alongside, you know, especially with some of these guys, they'll have like two shots and a block on even strength. And then you really need that power play point to be relevant. Those are the guys that I'm scared of. If you have a situation where you're going to get hits or blocks, either way, I could give a little bit. Or if you're going to be in a situation where you point a lot, you have to really be good at one of the two to make me interested.
That makes sense. Yeah, with Cam Fowler, actually, I think for the Winter Classic, they were running that stupid split power play again, because I think Kyrou was on power play too. But yeah, also, when you started that, I was thinking, yes, he is playing with much better forwards than he was on the Ducks. Well, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, Shams, myself, and all the other voices you hear on this podcast. Please check out gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of Twitter. It includes team-by-team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music are created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.